How did Gul'dan break his arm? He fell. Welcome to Weekly News Desk for the week of July 10th, 2016. I am Simon Atwell, and as always, I am joined by...
Andrew Noop.
Who you can thank for that terrible joke, by the way.
It's fantastic.
That came from him. Did you make that up, by the way?
No. It's way too good for something I can make up.
Yeah, good, sure. We'll say that.
The man is funny.
I smirked at it, smiled at it, I guess, when you told it to me on Friday.
That's good.
I didn't laugh, though. Didn't laugh. Yep, we're back, guys. This is, since the great schedule shuffle of like a year and a half ago, when we first stopped doing the show regularly, this is our record. We've only got as far as 2 weeks in a row.
New record.
No, next week will be a new record. You know, if hopefully back on our better recording day of Saturday, so that I'm not coming off 11 hours of work and doing this. That'd
You're
be great.
Fine.
For now, and then I have to wait for the audio to export and then upload it so I can give it to you. And then, yeah, no, I'm going to be up till 12. That's fine. I'll just watch more Ruby. Anyway, let's get right into the movie news. First up, movie news. Yes, that's what I said. I'm not going to make bumpers because that seems too much work.
Or baby buggy bumpers.
Yeah, sure, that too. First up, Raiding Tombs. The Tomb Raider movie has been announced for a release date of... Where did I type it? There. March 16th, 2018. Actually, I think I left it in the notes. I did. I have 2016. That's the wrong year in the notes.
It came out...
How many months ago was that?
We missed it.
So what we know about this movie, it's pretty much all I have been able to find is that they have cast Alicia Vikander as Lara Croft. Alicia Vikander was in The Danish Girl, which I never saw, but was a very well-known popular movie, and Ex Machina. I've never seen that movie either. I assume she's the robot lady. Because there's a robot lady, right? There's...
Sure.
Oh, you haven't seen it? I thought you... Oh, no, Caitlin. Caitlin saw it.
Yeah.
I know it's got General Hux and Poe Dameron and a robot lady.
Yeah, General Hux is in a lot of movies.
Yeah, I love... Donald Gleason's great.
Yeah.
I figure we can probably assume that this movie will be more like the new video games.
The reboot
video games. That sort of feeling. Then, you know, because the Angelina Jolie movies did have more or less the feel of those old games.
Yeah, a lot more paranormally... Guns.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
Emphasis on nonsense. Entertaining nonsense, but nonsense.
Yeah. I like
So it. I would assume. And she looks about... I mean, she looks about the same age as the new reboot Lara, so... I feel that is a safe assumption. Lara. It's really hard. I do have to concentrate on saying Lara. I just automatically want to say Laura. Because I know people named Laura.
Not Lara?
Not Lara. Never met a person named Lara.
Isn't that tomato, tomato?
I also haven't played the... no, they're spelled differently. Laura has a U in it. That's why it's Laura. I also haven't played the Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Fantastic.
Because I own it on Steam. My computer's not good enough to play it. It crashes. I have tried reinstalling it recently. Because you and I think it was Liz who was talking about it on Canada Day. I was like, I have that game. I should try and play it again. No, still crashes.
So good.
I'll maybe on my next computer, which is got, who knows when I'm going to get one. Okay. But we will probably keep. I'll keep my eye out for more news on what this movie. More specifically, will story-wise will be about, but I think due to the popularity of the new games, or the reboot games, and the look and age of Alicia Vikander, I think we can assume it's going to be a similar feel to the reboot games. Which is good.
Reboot?
They're great.
It's a reboot game.
Yeah, I know. I said that sounded like I'm talking about reboot the cartoon games, which I'm sure there were. So yeah, Tomb Raider, March 16th, 2018. That'll probably change because movie dates that are that far away, 2 years away, they always change. Either they get closer or they get further back. 100% of the time.
Generally further.
Sometimes they get moved up because something else gets pushed back. They trade spaces. Trading places, like that movie called Trading Places.
Oh, it's a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie that I never saw. Anyway, what's this next bullet, Andrew? It's yours. You speak on this one, because I don't know what you're talking about.
Star Wars Episode 8 is the shooting is wrapped. So now we just wait on reshoots and movie magic, and then we get to see it with our eyeballs.
Reshoots and ADR and then editing and effects.
Marketing. Now the real work takes over.
Yeah. Sure. For those of you who don't know, Andrew works for marketing firms. Not a big enough one that will handle Star Wars. But you work in marketing.
I can dream.
Just like I'm sure Evan. Because was it for Rogue One or the last Star Wars or something? It wasn't his company that was doing the 3D for it, but it was one just down the street. And he was like, I could go apply there. Go work on Star Wars.
I would have just went in the building. I work here.
I work here now. I can do 3D effect. I work here now. Yeah. So that's good. I mean, that means they will hold to their... pushed back date to Christmas. They pushed it back to winter again, right? Because it was initially summer.
Yeah.
Next year, and they pushed it back to winter.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Winter's...
As long as I get to see it.
Winter's probably a better release. I mean, summer has... Not Star Wars would probably own summer anyway, even over whatever Marvel movie is coming out next year, but winter's a safer. There are big winter hits. Oh, I should move my phone off my desk. I don't know if you heard that, but I'm sure somebody did. I apologize for that. What was I saying? All right, winter has less major hits to compete with, usually. There's a couple of big ones. But
that
not
it's
as
really
much
competition
as,
with Star Wars.
Not that it's... Not big ones like not as many big ones as the summer. I don't know what Marvel movie is coming out next summer. You could those would be competitive. I mean, Star Wars would probably still win, but those would be competitive.
Star Wars will always win.
Uh huh. So that's good news. Admittedly, I think. I'm not sure which one I'm looking forward to more, Rogue One or Episode 8.
I think I'm really looking forward to Rogue One more.
But that might just be because it's closer.
Maybe. But I don't know. Rogue One is cool.
It's pretty cool.
New stuff.
Well, so is 8. 8 is new stuff. Technically, Rogue One already happened.
Yeah.
It's the past, Andrew. Stuff. But yeah, I guess it feels, I mean, a little bit different than the main series with Star Wars. Although, not that I've seen it, the trailers feel a little bit different than the main Star Wars series, I suppose. Plus, it's got Forrest Whitaker as a guy who was, as a character who was initially introduced as in the cartoons, like we said last week. So that's exciting. It's even further validating the Clone Wars as canon and awesome.
It is canon.
Yeah, but it's further validating it. Further validating it. I'm aware. So is Rebels. And what, four books now? Star Wars Clone. I don't know. I haven't read any of them. I know there's the Tarkin one, and there's the Vader one. And that's it.
And
I assume there's two more.
And I still think it's more than two. I don't remember. There's lots. And by lots, I mean, like, no less than 10.
Really? Of canon books already?
Yeah, because some of them came at, like, the end. Specifically two of them. From the Clone Wars. One is the...
Oh, there were a couple of books that were pre-written? Before...
They were going to be episodes?
Oh, right.
Clone Wars, but then since the Clone Wars isn't happening...
I do remember hearing... Books. Yeah, I remember hearing about those ones. I assume from you.
They're real good.
Right, Star Wars. We could go on about Star Wars forever, but we should probably just move to the couple of TV news. And I gotta tell you, I looked for so long for TV news. So long. And there was like nothing. Movie news too, there's very little in movie news that I could find this week. I mean, these two are pretty good. I actually initially skipped this first one because the trailer is super gory and messy and kind of disgusting. I didn't finish the whole thing.
That's Evil Dead gory.
Yeah. So, first on the docket, Ash is looking messy versus the Evil Dead. They have released a trailer on the Ash vs. the Evil Dead Facebook for season 2. And, well, it's Evil Dead, so people are getting just buckets of gore and bile and everything in between over them. Yep. So, you know, don't watch the trailer if you don't really want to see that. But if you're fine with it, I would suggest going to Ash vs. the Evil Dead Facebook page.
If you've seen the first season, you'll be fine.
Or the movie.
But I think the first season is just, it's so much more.
Yeah, I mean, I think the quality of cameras and the clarity of picture makes everything seem worse than the old movies.
It's still just as B quality, it just looks better.
Yeah, it's clearer. You can see things more clearly.
Because it's a show, there's just so much more.
Yeah, it's true. So, obviously, Bruce Campbell coming back, as is in Lucy Lawless, who was also in the first season, as Ruby. Ray Santiago is coming back as Pablo Simon Bolivar, Ash's loyal sidekick. And Dana DiLorenzo, who is plotting revenge against the Evil Dead, which seems an odd thing to try and revenge. I mean, they're dead and evil. Just kill them. That's the Ash way.
Yeah, the boomstick.
The boomstick and the chainsaw. And also coming in season 2, Lee Majors will be playing Brock Williams, Ash's father. Ted Raimi, who is awesome. If you don't know who that is, look him up. You'll see a picture of his face and you go, oh, I've seen him in 10,000 bajillion things. He is also obviously one of Sam Raimi's brothers. He was also in Hercules and Zelda a lot. Xena a lot back in the day. I think that's where I first saw him. And Michelle Hurd will join the cast as Linda, Ash's high school love. I don't actually think I said who Ted Raimi was coming from. Ted Raimi will be playing Chet Kaminsky, Ash's childhood best friend, because in the second season, they're headed to Ash's hometown.
Should be interesting.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen the first season. I just never got around to it.
I've seen
parts of it. I'll see it eventually. I love Bruce Campbell, so
yeah, it's real good. it's like B movie gold.
Of course it is. It has Bruce Campbell in it.
Yeah, if you're down with Bruce Campbell, you'll like it. Down with Evil Dead, you'll like it.
Although honestly, every time I see Bruce Campbell, mostly I just want to watch Jack of All Trades again. Because that was a hilarious show. Hilarious B show back in the day. So funny. I mean, or Burn Notice. Burn Notice is great. But it's not B quality. You know, you're looking for B in a TV show. Jack of All Trades. Now I gotta go back to my notes. Or the show notes. Alright, and next on the docket and final news in TV is winter is not coming. Or at least not fast enough.
Oh, it's plenty fast.
Because I actually did see one article about this. Just say, well, if the problem is there's not enough winter, why don't they just move filming to Canada? In an interview with the UFC Unfiltered podcast, David Benioff and DB Weiss said they were probably going to, well, they have delayed the start of production on the next season of Game of Thrones because they need worse weather because it's getting cold. So I haven't actually seen the past 2-3 seasons of Game of Thrones, so this is not really a spoiler.
I'm only halfway through
getting season cold. Six.
As of this weekend, I'm only halfway through.
Well, I mean, we all knew. Anybody who's seen 2 seasons should have been able to figure out that the more seasons of this show goes on, the more the winter is finally going to creep in and creep down, because they've been talking about it every season.
Yeah. That's just the start, because they always say that.
Well, yes, but I mean, even the Maesters are talking about it, talking about if they're ready, if the kingdoms are ready to survive, if the people have enough food.
Kingdom screwed.
Oh, yes. Majorly screwed. So if they push back production, that means we probably won't get its start at the same time. I mean, even season, what, 6? That's the most recent one, right? You just said it. Even season 6 started being aired weeks later than usual. But that was because of HBO doing other longer-lasting shows across the winter and early spring, I suppose. This probably will mean we have a Game of Thrones summer next year. Yeah. Summer next year, probably. And obviously, when San Diego Comic-Con happens in 3 weeks? 2 weeks? Whenever that date is. They're going to be there, and I'm sure there'll be questions, and I'm sure they will talk about when they're planning on doing things then. So we'll have more news after San Diego Comic-Con. For sure. I don't actually think I have an article for that first thing in games. I did not prepare myself properly. I don't have an article for that. I was just going to talk about it because
there's lots to talk.
We know. I'm sure you probably know more than I do.
Yeah.
But our next thing, we're moving into games now. First on the docket in video games, Pokemon is Go. I'm very proud of that terrible headline.
Pokemon is mostly Go.
It's mostly Go. Yeah. I initially was going to put is Go for everybody but us, which is also not accurate. It was actually only like 3 countries. And then the States got it the next day. And a bunch of Canadians piggybacked off the States.
It's currently it's only being US, Pokemon. Australia, and New Zealand.
Yeah, and those of us in Canada who piggybacked off the U.S. illegally, not illegally, but you know,
they have said that Canada is next when they roll it out, but it has been the world release has officially been paused because they're working on updating their servers because it is quote bigger than they would have expected.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if they're setting up more server. Like, if they had, all right, these are the servers for New Zealand and Australia. They're ready, so we'll set them there. Okay, these are the servers for the States. All right, they're ready, so we'll set them there. And then there's other people not in those countries trying to use those servers or something like that. I don't know. But if that is it, we've probably destroyed it ourselves. As we do.
So there's a whole bunch of rumors going around about people getting banned for using
it. There's some fear mongering.
Yeah. Not sure if they can actually do that, but it's possible.
I'm sure they can ban your account, but that's about it. You can make a new one.
Yeah, if you just use your Google account or your whatever Pokemon account thing is.
Yeah.
You can just... I've got like 6 Google accounts, so it doesn't bother me. I just don't want to lose progress or whatever.
That is a lot of Google accounts.
But yeah, they came out. It's fun.
It's pretty fun.
If you don't know what it is, you wander around and catch Pokemans with your phone.
Yep. And you can battle at gyms where you just spam tap the screen. Because dodging don't do shit.
I don't really know how the spam tapping the screen is, but do you hold and it does another move?
Yes.
Or do you just keep tapping?
You keep tapping basically as fast as you can to do your top move. You know how each Pokemon has 2 moves?
Yeah.
The top move does less damage. It's your con move. And then under your health, there are some blue bars of various lengths and various number. Once one of those is full, if you hold it, you do the second move, which is much slower. And most people say don't even bother with it because how the battles work in real time, it's just faster to just spam tap your screen and hope that the game doesn't freeze.
Yeah, I've never finished a battle because every time a game has frozen, it just drops the connection to the server. And I'm like, well...
That's unfortunate. I have finished many battles, actually. I have a gym. There's a park just down the street that goddamn Team Valor keeps taking over, and I keep taking it back. However, they now have 3 Pokemon there. They only had 1 each other time I took it. So I can get through the first 2 easy. But after getting through the first 2 and then taking on the gym or the gym leader, I'm not sure I can do it all in one go.
All the gyms I can see around me used to all be yellow, and now they're all red.
Yeah, I can only see 2. I know there's 1. There's 2. Actually, there's 3 right by the library, Andrew. There's 3. This is a park. There's 1 in the park there where I tried to take it. Last Friday, after I was at your house, last Friday I came home, and it was like about 3 o'clock in the morning. I was like, I got nothing to do. I'm just going to go outside and catch Pokemon at 3 in the morning. So I walked up to that gym just up the street, took it, walked all up. I was like, okay, so where are all the poke points? I'm going to walk past as many poke points as, or poke spots, points.
Poke stops.
Stops. That's it. Which is a place that is somewhat arbitrarily marked out because they were marked out in there in it. Niantic? Is that the company?
Niantic's Ingress?
Yeah, in their previous game, Ingress, yeah. Basically where all these points have been mapped out previously.
If you played Ingress, you know where all the Pokemon stuff is.
But yeah, I walked around getting all the Pokestops and a whole bunch of shit, and hatching eggs, because you hatch eggs by putting them in an incubator and then walking. Either 2, 5, or I believe I've seen somebody say 10. I have yet to see a 10-kilometer egg. I have many 5-kilometer eggs, though.
Yeah, just walk in and then it hatches, just like in the game.
It hatches. Yeah, but I saw a gym on Friday, and the game had only been out, what, 2-3 days at that point?
Yep.
There was a gym there that had, like, a Hypno that was the CP of, like, 700. And I was like, what the fuck did you do? How did you do that? Did you just go out and walk for 2 straight days? Yeah, no, it's pretty disgusting.
Give me money.
The scores, yeah, but there's no way to guarantee it. I mean, you get the lucky eggs that hatch to have presumably higher CP or something, I think. But that's it. That's all you can buy. That and, like, potions and Pokeballs. You can't buy anything that guarantees to raise your...
Doesn't guarantee.
CP. You can
get more levels, and I'm pretty sure that the higher your trainer level is, the higher power
you can train them to. Yes. This is fact.
So if you've got more eggs getting hatched and you get more unique Pokemons, your level's going to skyrocket.
That's true. Because I can't train my... I have ton of Rattata candy because Rattatas are everywhere. And I can't train my Raticate any more powerful because of my trainer level isn't high enough.
So stuff like that, you can kind of get the pay-to-win going.
Yeah, also, and then the other gym had a bunch. I had 3 pretty strong Pokemon, and I took 2 of them out before my team got murked.
Yeah, with the release of Pokemon Go, Nintendo's...
Their stock went up, what, 10%?
Yeah, their stock went up 10%. It's the highest one-day surge since 1983.
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous.
Game isn't even out everywhere, and it's out barely in working.
3 countries, and everybody's like, oh, game crashed. Oh, servers are down. Yeah. But it is pretty interesting, and it's good because, there is really very little you can do. There's a couple of things you can do to just not have to walk to catch Pokemon. The incense or going to a Pokestop and putting like the lure module in, which both of those items lure Pokemon to your area, but it's still faster to walk. You still run across more Pokemon walking, which is probably good. It is going to encourage people to get out and walk.
That was just an aggregate feed of all the people complaining about their legs are sore or they're tired from walking.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Kind of amazing.
Anything else? No, I think that's about it. I can't wait till it actually officially comes out here in Canada.
And I can play it without fear of getting banned and just... play it all the time.
I'll be honest, I'd be alright with my Can Cap Band. It's not super... I don't have anything super amazing. I mean, I did catch that Squirtle by the mall, so I now have a Bulbasaur and a Squirtle, so that's pretty sweet. And I don't know why I caught one by the mall in the middle of that city where there's no water anywhere near it. Kind of amused me that a water Pokemon showed up in the middle of nowhere.
Speaking of servers and a weird launch and all that. Evolve free to play. Evolve released a free to play version.
I thought they just shifted the paid version to free to play.
Yeah, kinda. It's weird. So
I'm glad I didn't read that article.
It doesn't really make sense because they call it Evolve Stage 2, and then it's free to play, and it's got all the free to play modules. If you own the game already, you're a founder, so you've got all this founder stuff.
Like in Star Wars.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of founder shit for having been a subscriber.
And there's stuff that you can buy with all the paid releases and whatnot. But the game came out, it's free to play. Yeah. The number of players increased to 16,000%.
It increased by 16,000%?
Yeah.
And that is amazing. Their
servers just died.
Yeah.
So
there's no way anybody could, no matter who you are, you're not prepared for 16,000%. You're probably not even prepared for 2,000%.
Yeah. So now Jesus. It's kind of got mixed reviews because everyone's complaining about how the servers are crap. I can't get into a match. It's always lagging. Or they don't like the free-to-play model, or there's only two Steam achievements for the whole game.
Everybody complains on every free-to-play.
The bulk of it is the server issue. Which, I mean, yeah. And I was going to be all over this game, too. Because, I've been kind of interested in it since it came out. But, full price is too much for it. And then it'll go on sale for, $20. I'm like, it's still too much. When it hits, 10, maybe I'll pull the trigger then. But free is a good price. I'll pay free.
Free is a very good price.
Yeah, it's out there. It's up on Steam right now. You can hop on, grab it.
And then hope that the servers will work while you're playing. Just like Pokemon. Hope that the servers will work while you're trying to play.
Yeah. That's why I segued into this.
Yeah, that was some real good note changing on the fly.
Yeah. I'm a wizard.
Move on to the next. This one's pretty quick, although I do have to ask you how the hell they do it. Xbox One gets Red and Dead, which we knew was coming for fucking months now, because they accidentally released the Red Dead Redemption on the Xbox One store, I think. Is it on the store?
Yeah, it was on the store, and took it down. The backwards compatibility, and they're like, no, you weren't supposed to see this.
Yeah, you didn't see that. Everybody looked the other way. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. So yes, we knew that was coming. It is out now. And what I'm wondering, because it says, if you still have your 360 disc hanging around, simply pop it in and download the update.
Yeah.
Don't you have to have hardware to read the old disc?
Yeah, well, doesn't it reads the disc. But
okay, so wouldn't it read all 360 discs and it just can't play them?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it can read all the discs, it just can't play them. But this is, you pop it in, it reads it, and then it runs the virtual thing. It's basically
emulating a 360. So the hardware to make the Xbox One's fully backwards compatible is already in the Xbox One.
Yeah.
It's a software issue at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
And so it doesn't read anything from the disc other than the fact that it is that disc.
So, and then it just downloads the game, I guess?
And it's the same, if you have it on your Xbox account you just play it.
You can download it, from your games and apps. And it basically reads what version you have. So if you have, my PlayStation 3 version is the one that also has Undead Nightmare. So if that was an Xbox 360, I can't say 360 today. If that was an Xbox 360 version and I popped it in, I would be able to get the main game of Red Dead and also the Undead Nightmare, because that's what the disc is. Or at least, that's what I have read.
Right.
If you have Undead Nightmare,
that makes sense.
We have the disc with it. You get everything that you had on the disc. Mind you, if you don't have it, if you just have the base Red Dead, one, you're not missing much. Undead Nightmare is not that great, if you ask me. And two, you can buy it for $10. which honestly seems a lot. And there's the multiplayer stuff. And they are... the skin, they have multiplayer skins and stuff, which are free on the Xbox Store. That's, I think, The Undead Nightmare is the multiplayer stuff. Only. I don't think there's any multiplayer in the base game, if I recall. It's been a while.
I don't know. Undead Redemption is one of the games that I started playing and then forgot about, and then I borrowed it from somewhere, and then I had to give back, and then I never got around to buying it.
But guess what, Andrew?
I bought it at the last game swap, so now I can...
Oh, you bought it at the last game swap?
Yeah.
On 360?
Yeah.
Well, go put it in your Xbox, like, as soon as we're done recording. Get that download started.
Finally got a great game. Player for the basement, so I can keep my Xbox upstairs ever.
Yeah, I've actually got to give my parents my old PlayStation 3. Probably they don't have any blue. I don't know if I'm going to ask you something. I just remembered off once we're done recording. I have to ask you something about the Xbox 360. So yes, Red Dead Redemption is a great game. If you haven't tried it and you have an Xbox, you have no excuse. Go try it. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Next one. I should open all of my bloody bookmarks. No, I should not open them one at a time like I have been doing. This is not good. I am not professional. In case you didn't realize that, guys, not professional.
This is a professional podcast.
Whoa. I guess because I was watching Ruby before we started recording. All my banner ads are Rooster Teeth, get more merch, and it's a Ruby figure. Anyway, I'm not talking about that right now. Next on the docket is Sword Art Online Hollow Realization, which is not what it's called in Japanese, by the way. I have a link in the show notes to a trailer. That's weird. It's long. It's a very long trailer. And it's just weird because it has parts of the game and things that it shows. And like, well, that's not how you would do a trailer for anything really in North America. This is clearly a trailer that was released just for Japan. And then they're like, okay, put some subtitles and throw it on the internet. Show those fucking North Americans. They can just watch this shit that we clearly made for Japan. But it is, as I believe the past three Sword Art Online games have been our PlayStation exclusive for PlayStation 4 and Vita. And it should be coming out. Where is, I don't have the edge of the exact date. I don't think it has an exact date, but it has been said fall that it will come out. These games, the first one I played, which I think was the second one, because I don't know that the first one came with actual subtitles. I think it was still just a direct Japanese port. And I was like, I think I'll go with the one that I can read subtitles so I know what's going on. Thanks. First one was good. It was very difficult. And it is also funny because in the first one that I played, you had a party of two people. You, your character, which was the main character, the anime Sword Art Online, and then one other person. Basically, any person from the anime who had a freaking name, they could be, whether or not you ever saw that person fight, they could be in your party, pretty much. And including some randos that they just filled the world with. You could be like, hey, rando girl over there, you want to join my party and go fight some monsters? Yeah. And then the next one, which was, I'm trying to look over my shoulder and find what the bloody name of the next game was, but it's buried under DVDs, it's buried under Doctor Who. The next game, which they went to a different game, it is a game within a game, both of these, because the Sword Art Online anime is about, well, first, initially it's about being trapped in a virtual reality video game, which is one of my favorite anime tropes. and then they get out of it and they trapped in a virtual reality video game. I mean, Dot Hack, I love Dot Hack, and therefore that show has made the trapped in a video game one of my favorite tropes. But then they moved on to another video game, and they get to fly. And so in the second game, you get to fly, and they increase your party size by one. So now it's you, and in the second game, you can make your own character, or you can control any character you want that you have unlocked. But you and two other people, making things a little bit easier. Because I gotta tell you and one person was freaking hard. And then in this one, it's you and three people. And I believe you're back to Kirito, the main character again, and only. But it's you and three people. So every game, they have been raising the party size, which just amuses me. But this, in Japan, this is called Sword Art Online Origins, I believe, because that's what it says in the trailer three times.
I think that's probably a better name.
Yeah, I know, Holorization is weird. But it probably has something to do with something that makes sense in the game. From what I could see in that weird trailer, it looks like they meet an NPC that's busted and somehow starts developing personality, which has absolutely happened in the show once and in the other video games with another NPC. So it is not a new thing for this this video game series. But they're back in a new version of the original game they were trapped in. Somebody basically made it again without the "you're trapped here and if you die, you die." So they took out the death game part of that game and put it back online, I guess. So it takes place mostly within the first couple of worlds, first couple of levels. And it looks really good. I mean, I have quite liked the other games, so I think it looks really good. I think that trailer is worth watching if you're interested. It is weird, though, because it's clearly made for a Japanese audience. There is also going to be a collector's edition, which I don't know if it's going to be available in Canada, because I've only been able to see it when I Googled it on Amazon.com and GameStop.com. GameStop, that's what it is, right? That's who owns EB, right? Yeah. But it's not on EB, and it's not on Amazon.ca. So it's only on the American websites.
Rude.
But, the game's not coming out for a while, so... I mean, fall, so a couple of months, I guess. So that's not really that long. They also have a collector's edition, which I kind of want, even though it's like $150, which is kind of much. But it has 6-inch figures of the main two characters, a custom steelbook case, which is every collector's edition of everything. It doesn't have to be the collector's edition. Anything edition comes with a freaking steelbook nowadays.
Yeah, you can even just buy steelbooks.
You can just buy steelbooks, yeah. It comes with a soundtrack.
Maybe I should just collect steelbooks.
I have a few. I like steelbooks. Actually, I only have one. I only have one steelbook, I think, for a video game. Mostly it's DVD. It's movies that I have steelbooks for.
Quite a few steelbooks. Going all the way back to the original Xbox.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I have a steelbook for Assassin's Creed 3 on a PlayStation 3. It's right behind me. I can see it over my shoulder.
Yeah, Halo 2 and Splinter Cell Chaos Theory.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't see many movies. They're tucked away in my closet shelves. Anyway, what else do they have in the collector's edition of this game that we're talking about? Steelbook case, 2-disc soundtrack, which I love soundtracks. This is a thing that I love, and I own a ton of soundtracks.
Yep.
For TV shows, video games, movies.
Good soundtrack.
They don't all have to be done by Bear McCreary, but that will pretty much get me to automatically buy the soundtrack. I own I think 2 seasons of Da Vinci's Demons. Never seen the show, But Barry Curry did the soundtrack, so I own those two season soundtracks. Just because he did them. SOCOM 4, never played it, but he did the soundtrack, so I own it. That sci-fi show and game that was supposed to affect each other, whatever the fuck that was called a couple years ago. He did the soundtrack for both of them, so I own that double disc. I got that one. That one's actually signed. I got the signed version of that one. Yeah, I got this. I'm a Barry Curry fanboy. And also a soundtrack fanboy. So, that's good for me. Blu-ray disc containing special contents. So, probably your traditional bonus material that comes in these types of things. Mini posters, decal sheets, an art book, which is always nice to have. And a copy of the game. Which is good, you know. If you're going to buy the collector's edition of the game, hopefully it has a copy of the game in it.
I do kind of wish that there were collector's editions that were just separate from the game. So, like, if you wanted to buy it later, you could.
But why would you buy the collector's edition and not the game?
Think of it like an upgrade.
Oh, okay. So you mean you bought the regular version first.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, but I want all that collector's edition stuff, but I don't need the game because I already have it. Okay. I misinterpreted it as you want to buy the collector's edition first, but I don't want the game. I just want all the other shit. I was like, well, that makes no sense. Yes, that's fair. That makes sense. But that's basically what eBay and Kijiji is for, where you're going to get gouged all the shit.
Yeah, basically.
So yes, Hollow Realization is scheduled to release this fall for PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita. But we've only seen collector's edition for PlayStation 4. Because let's be honest, it's going to be digital sale only for the PlayStation Vita. That's what happens with the PlayStation Vita. They don't make disc games for it anymore.
And even if they do release disc games, it's actually just a code for a digital download.
Nobody's going to buy them.
And then they charge a gazillion dollars for the memory for the system.
Just, oh yeah, it's proprietary Sony. That's what Sony does. They love their proprietariness.
And then Sony's like, why is no one buy this system?
Yeah. Because we don't use SD cards. Yes. I'm just reading things later that I already said. Oh yeah, and there's some characters that have been confirmed from the show that are in the game, but nobody else cares about that. Because I'm sure nobody who's listening to this is actually, that's not true. Has Erica seen it? Erica listens to us. And she watches anime. She might have seen it. I can't remember. I know, I'm pretty sure Justin saw it. Because Justin, Andy, and I were talking about it one time, but I don't know if she saw it. Anyway. Imagine that the important characters from the anime are also in the game. To be able to join your party. Because that would be dumb if they weren't.
But, I'll get to watching the anime.
Yeah, you should. It's good.
Caitlin.
Even though the second arc is super weird and kind of creepy, it's anything after like the first episode or two is a really good. Mostly because I think it's in the first episode, he says something about how MMOs work, and I was like, well, actually, that's the exact opposite of how MMOs work. It's like, the quests are limited and you can only get so much experience if other people get there first. And I was like, no, that's literally the exact opposite of how an MMO works. Well, but anytime past that line. This works. And it, well, yeah, maybe it's that specific MMO, yes. But he says it like MMOs work like this.
Maybe they do.
But anytime past, anytime past that specific line, it's actually a pretty good representation of how an MMO would work. And they... My favorite thing is in that weirdo second arc, somebody says, man, you can't just gank that guy here in public. And I was like, hey, he used the term gank correctly. I was super impressed. anyway, moving on. To Sombra Diego Comic-Con? So, as I'm sure you've heard about Andrew forever now, that people have been talking about Sombra being probably the next Overwatch character, because there's a lot of hints already in the game to her existence.
The support sniper.
the support sniper. Yeah, there's Definitely. Black Wanted posters. There's a Reaper line about Sombra.
There's a post from Twitter. It's like a diagram of the equipment.
And like a couple days ago,
characters. And...
Yeah, a couple days ago, Blizzard released this picture that is it's like blueprints of a sniper rifle that's meant to use Mercy's like abilities, basically. Mercy heals, and it's like a blueprint thing, and it's got a Torbjorn note on one side going, oh yeah, so it'll be great, and blah, 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 despite what my colleague seems to think, it won't be used for nefarious purposes. And then it's got a Mercy note going, I don't care what Torbjorn says, it's going to be used badly eventually. I don't like it.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. And we've seen, I think there's wanted posters in game, because you see the face with the face mask with a weird triangular like light or eye socket. I don't know. It looks weird. And then in one of the behind the scenes videos that Blizzard did for Overwatch at launch or just pre-launch or post-launch, you see somebody in the background working on the game with an aiming reticle that has a matching triangle in the middle of the aiming reticle. So we can assume that's where originally the support sniper idea came from prior to this picture getting released. So why did I make that terrible pun about San Diego Comic-Con? One of the panels that has been announced is called Behind the Scenes of if I could talk, this would be great. Behind the Scenes of Overwatch's Newest Hero. Bah. Now, there have been some people going, oh, they're probably just going to talk. It's probably just making them, or them making us think they're going to talk about a non-released hero, but they're actually just going to talk about whatever hero they last announced for the game is. Well, you all can shut up, because the last heroes announced for the game were D.Va, Genji, and somebody else at the exact same time. So there's no single newest hero, unless there's one that's unreleased. Plus, with the support sniper picture coming out, the sniper rifle picture coming out, it's pretty much sealed that it's going to be whatever character carries that weapon.
Yeah.
And because there's so many hints already to Sombra, including a Reaper line of where's Sombra when you need her, it's probably going to be Sombra. Also, speculation that is not only me, other people are also speculating this. Pretty sure it's Pharah's mother. Because if you have read any of the Overwatch stuff, one of the founding members of Overwatch, along with Soldier 76 and Reaper, was Pharah's mother, who was a sniper. Now, we're pretty sure she's not dead, because her entry in the wiki and stuff does not say she died. It just says, it just kind of ends at one point. But doesn't say she died at any given mission. And other founding members, at least one of them, was dead. They said he died at some point, if I recall correctly. So I'm thinking that Sombra is Pharah's mother, and she might have been a member of Blackwatch, like McCree and Reaper were. Because we don't actually, besides McCree and Reaper, we don't actually know which members of the original Overwatch team were in Blackwatch. Really, yeah. I don't. I know that Soldier 76 wasn't.
There's a lot we don't know.
So there's a lot you don't know. So I'm also thinking that when they did the whole disbanding thing in a giant firefight that blew up their base in the mountains, that's what happened. Reaper and Soldier 76 fought, and their base got blown up in the fight, because they're just that much of badasses. I'm guessing that Pharah's mother, whose name I cannot remember, went with Reaper, and I'm thinking she probably trained Widowmaker. It's probably part of the lore that's not in existence yet, since she's the only other sniper in the existence of this game.
Yeah, I could see it.
There's two snipers, and they both are part of, well, Widowmaker is part of Reaper's crew, and if Sombra is the one we've seen with all dressed in black with the weird face mask and triangle eyesight or whatever. It looks like they'd be part of Reaper's crew. But the only problem I have, really, is I was hoping and thinking, actually, I was thinking they would probably release characters in fours, right? So one new tank, one new support, one new defense, one new attack? Is that what they are? Attack, defense?
Attack, defense, yeah.
Tank and support. So you just give one in each role at the same time.
I think that the problem with that is now that it's out everywhere, if you release too many at once, it's going to mess with all of the overall balance.
Yeah, it's probably easier to balance one at a time, yes. That's what I mean. Is the way to...
They've got just so many characters right now that...
Yeah, except for support. Three at a time. Like, yeah, except for support where there's like three characters.
Yeah.
The support has by far the least amount of characters. So it makes sense that they would release a solo support. Yeah. Also, I just can't wait for Doomfist, because we know Doomfist has got to show up at some point. Because Doomfist is mentioned all over the place. The old Doomfist and the new Doomfist. Anyway, so we'll see what they say at Comic-Con in however many weeks. That is, in weeks. In some weeks.
Sometime.
So, last in the video games, Legionary. We've got a little bit of news on the Battle.net, about the Legion pre-expansion patch. We don't have the exact date. It says coming soon.
But it's background
dialing. It is background dialing already. So I was thinking, probably this Tuesday, this patch day. But then I came across the fact that this PvP season does not end until the 19th, next Tuesday. And I don't think they would mess with... Because in this patch, they are starting the new class updates, and they're getting your new spec stuff already. So
I doubt that would happen until the end of the season.
So yeah, in the middle, well, not in the middle, but when the PvP season is still happening, that sounds like the worst idea ever.
And we change everything. Have fun with the last week.
Yeah, have fun with the last week PvP, which is going to be totally unbalanced, because that's what happens when you do major talent changes like they have, major spec changes like they are planning on doing. So it's probably going to be next Tuesday when the season ends. Which apparently has... I don't pay attention to PvP, but apparently this has happened in previous pre-expansions, is that it has dropped on whatever day the PvP season has ended. So this is... there is precedent for this. So what you can expect in a pre-expansion patch when it... immediately upon going live... you will get your transmogrification system update. So you get the transmog collections system, so that when you get an item that can be transmogged, basically you don't need to keep it in your bank anymore.
I'm so excited. Or void storage.
So it basically works like heirlooms, I think, more or less, from what I can tell, is they work like heirlooms. You get your class updates, significant changes to their specs. Some people lose, or they get a completely separate spec, like rogues. I don't know which spec is going away, or because I don't think they're getting a fourth. I believe one of them is going away, and they're getting this outlaw spec, which sounds really cool. I didn't actually read all of it, because there's a lot of classes, and I don't want to read all of them.
I'm going to just live it.
But yeah, so you're getting the new class updates immediately. And which is also nice, with this new spec stuff, they're making it easier to switch between specs for doing different activities, I guess. You know, when you're, like, if you're a paladin, say, or a warrior, but I don't know the warrior DPS spec. I do know the paladin DPS spec. Say you're questing, solo questing, you're in ret if you want to do DPS. If you're solo questing, you're going to be a ret paladin. It's just what you do. But you're gonna want to queue up for some dungeons, which requires you to be in the tank spec, which I've forgotten the name of for right now. I had it in my head literally a minute ago, and now it's gone.
Just Prot?
Yes, it is Prot. Thank you. I literally had it in my head a minute ago. So you want to be in Prot spec if you're going to tank. So basically, in the new system, you'll be able to queue up through the dungeons, raids, or battlegrounds, or arenas as any role that is available to your class. So if you're a paladin, you can queue up as tank, DPS, or healer. If you're a warrior, you can queue up as tank or DPS. If you're a rogue, you can queue up as DPS or DPS. Because we're getting shafted.
I still need separate gear sets?
Well, no. You don't need separate gear sets now, Andrew.
Yeah.
You need trinkets. At this point, right now, you need trinkets and I think rings and weapons. Every other piece of gear in Warlords of Draenor right now, your main stat, if you go look at your gear, you'll have whatever your main stat is for what the spec you're in, and then there'll be a grayed out stat up for the exact same number on the bottom.
Oh, man.
That's your main stat for another spec. This is how I switch. I switch from my druid DPS to, when I'm doing solo content, cat druid, to healer spec, and I only have to change my rings, my trinkets, and my staff, my weapon.
I'm so excited.
This is in Draenor right now. So you queue up as any spec, and then you can keep doing what you're doing at the time, playing your, you know, whatever role you're already playing. And when your queue pops and when you enter the content, you will automatically switch to the suitable role at no cost. And then when you're done with a dungeon, say, you'll switch back to your DPS spec so you can continue on your solo questing.
Sweet.
So you don't have to manually remember to switch spec every time you go into the dungeon. You also get a couple other smaller things, but those are the two big things that happen immediately upon the pre-patch dropping. After that, they will be unlocking. They'll slowly be rolling out more of the content. They don't know exactly when, but players who have pre-purchased a Legion will be playing a Demon Hunter. Probably around the second or third week of August.
And I am.
They say no later than August 17th, so that still gives you 2 weeks, week and a half, 2 weeks? 2 weeks before Legion actually drops to play your Demon Hunter. So 2 weeks at the least, by what they're saying. And then you got Burning Legion invasions, like the Elemental invasions before Cataclysm, basically. The Burning Legion will begin its assault on Pon Azeroth. So, turning some familiar stomping grounds into demon-infested battlefields. It doesn't actually say exactly where, but I'm sure we'll find out, you know, before it happens. I don't know why it has the Demon Hunter access. This article I'm reading has Demon Hunter early access twice. I guess this one's more specific. When you start a Demon Hunter, you begin at level 98. You'll be starting in Mardum. And then you'll play the starting experience. But like in a Death Knight, you play the starting experience and then you go to where everybody else is.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing as a Death Knight. And then there will be, much like before Draenor, there will be a short, you know, quest line that happens that they will roll out shortly before Legion drops. And everything that I said, with the exception of the early access, obviously, will happen whether you own Legion or not, whether you pre-purchase Legion or not. So the Burning Legion invasions, you can take part in that even if you haven't bought Legion already. You'll get your class updates, obviously, and you get the transmogrification thing when they drop. Everybody does, regardless of whether you pre-purchase Legion. Pretty much pre-purchasing Legion just gets you early access to the Demon Hunter. Which, who doesn't want early access to the Demon Hunter? Even if I'm pretty sure you have to be appointed here.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, makes sense, but still, I don't want to be appointed here.
I'm fine with
it. I say that, but my Paladin's a Blood Elf.
Blood Elves are cool.
Mostly because I want him. I know it doesn't actually matter, but I want to play him as like a Dark Paladin kind of idea, which is totally used to be what Blood Elf Paladins used to be. Back in the day, before, I think it was before Wrath, so it must have been in BC, I guess. Because I think it was. Was it in Nax? No, it could have been in Nax. There's a city dungeon up near where Nax used to be. It's a big one. Stratholme, maybe? Maybe it's Stratholme.
Probably.
Anyway, there's a big city dungeon up in Western Plaguelands. Eastern Plaguelands? One of them. Up near the north side of that. And there are Paladin quests, traditional Paladin quests, to go in there. Back, you know, when we used to have class quests. Which is the thing I miss the most about old WoW. And you'd get, traditional paladins would go to it and they pray. They do paladin-y things. Blood Elf paladins would go and burn it to the ground. And be like, Light, I make you my bitch. Now I'm using your powers because F you. Because that's how the Blood Elf paladins work is. No, we don't worship the Light. We make the Light our bitch. Pretty much.
Do that with all sources of power they can get their hands on.
Pretty much. It's absolutely what they do.
Like, I'm pretty sure that's what Kael'thas' plan was with what's-his-face.
Demony what's-his-guy who he summoned?
Yeah.
In the sun, well.
It's like, I'm not going to work with him. We're just going to summon him and then tame him.
Why can't I remember his name? Like a hunter pet. Tame him like a hunter pet. I can't remember that demon's name. Whatever. Not important.
I'll just say Kil'jaeden.
Probably. Sorry, I'm just noticing that I lost the bookmark again. Why do I keep losing bookmarks? God damn it. Stupid Chrome. So I'm going to have to find that in a minute. Luckily, I'm sure I know what website I found it on. But first, moving now to comics and books. Iron Man at Champions and US Avengers. Oh my. So Marvel now have been coming out with quite a few announcements of different upcoming and ongoing comics and changes to certain characters, I guess. I mean, the one is kind of a change to the character. It's a change to the hero, but nothing. You'll get it when I explain it. Which is the one we're going to start with, because it's the first one I said on my list, Iron Man. So, post-Civil War II, which is happening now, where I believe this character is introduced in Civil War II, for some odd reason, we don't know yet, but for some reason, something happens in Civil War II that will cause Tony Stark to basically, it seems, hang up the helmet, because Invincible Iron Man is going to be Riri Williams, who is a genius. Like, I think she's a university student. She's a genius university student, basically, who reverse engineered her own set of armor at one point. And basically, I assume that's happening in Civil War right now.
She's a university student?
I believe so. I know I read it somewhere, and I can't find it right now. She's young.
Where'd she get that money?
She's youngish. I'm sure I read this somewhere. I don't know. It doesn't actually say it in here, but she's that aged. She's young. So she's the ongoing Invincible Iron Man comic title. It will be Riri Williams in Iron Man armor, not Tony Stark. Now, they've also been leaks, which could still be fake, of another Iron Man. I don't remember what the title was. Another Iron Man series where Doom is in an Iron Man suit.
Yeah, that one's cool.
But that is a leak, so that could change or be, you know, who knows what's going to go on with
that. Surprised that took as long as it did.
Yeah, right? You'd think with somebody like Doom who loves his technology.
And is rich.
And is super rich, yeah.
Basically what Iron Man is.
Yeah. Next, Champions. So this is a weird one because it is the Marvel Now universe. So there are some of these characters in this particular universe are young. They're still teens who were adults in sort of the main universe. But it's the in part of the Divided We Stand teasers that they've been putting out for months now, which have had mostly the older heroes and the younger heroes sort of pitted against each other or looking that they're against each other, including the most recent one where it had a bunch of the younger Avengers members or Avengers Juniors members or something like that burning their membership cards. So this Champions series will be written by Mark Waid and Humberto Ramos, and it will be starring Miles Morales, who has always been pretty much high school aged, the new Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan, who is also high school aged. I don't remember the weird girl Vision bot. I can't remember what her name is. But there's a weird pink Vision bot girl. There is teenage Nova, who, I mean, he comes up in cartoons like the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon. There is teenage Cyclops and young Hulk, the young Bruce Banner. That is the Champions team. It could be good. It could be terrible. I mean, Mark Waid is a good writer. Humberto Ramos, good artist, although I'm not crazy about some of the faces on this cover. But, you know, I'm trying to find the date that it's supposed to come out. There it is, October. And I'm sure, we'll hear all about this in Comic-Con.
Yeah, that's what it's for.
And now, when, you know, you just need more Avengers in your life. Well, lucky for you, in December, there's going to be an all-new Avengers team. The U.S. Avengers. So billionaire playboy Roberto Da Costa, who I've never heard of before, has formed an all-new AIM, American Intelligence Mechanics. Endorsed by the government, and he's setting out to replace S.H.I.E.L.D. They're, which I guess is why they're the U.S. Avengers. They are set out to protect the United States from the most outlandish threats imaginable. So this one will have Red Hulk, Thunderbolt Ross, an all-new Iron Patriot, who is somebody with, like, long purple hair. I don't know who that is. You got Cannonball, who is an X-Man, and he's great. Sam, what's his last name, who literally his power is pretty much become a cannonball. He flies at people fast. There's Pod, I think is what it is. Another sort of Ultron bot-like thing, which I've never seen before. And Squirrel Girl, featured prominently in the middle of the cover.
Because Squirrel Girl.
And it also says others, but these are clearly the main team.
It's the best drawn Red Hulk I've seen.
You just like the mustache.
Yeah, the mustache also really makes it.
and the bandolier, is that what the right thing is, of ammo?
Yeah.
Is that a bandolier?
Mustache, bandolier, and guns. Yeah, that's the best Hulk.
And he's got like sunglasses on. Yeah, it's kind of ludicrous, actually.
I really wish he was wearing like Star Spangled Banner shorts.
Well, if they blue, white, and have stars on them, they're pretty close.
Yeah.
If you look down at the cover, they
do close, have some stars. But on I want more them. Gaudy.
They also have featured on the cover the female Captain America. I can't remember her name either. She's been around for a bit, I think. It's interesting that the article does not name her, but she's clearly there on the cover. But yeah, this will probably be great. Squirrel Girl. Anything with Squirrel Girl or Red Hulk. Fantastic, if you ask me.
Especially that Red Hulk.
Especially when sporting that kind of an awesome mustache.
So great.
Right? That's what you really mean. Oops, that's not how you spell things. Is Warhammer one word or two, Andrew?
Warhammer's one word.
Well, it's okay. Even if I search for it as two words, it still comes up for the right article. So, Titan Comics has revealed a creative team for a new 40K series, which is really weird when you actually see it written out as 40,000. Warhammer 40,000. That weird. It's weird to me, because everywhere I see it typed out, it's 40K, because I don't look at official Games Workshop merchandise.
That's fair. You have a fair point.
So Games Workshop and Titan Comics are coming together to make this series. They have hired George Mann, who wrote the Dark Souls comics and Warhammer Black Library comics and some Eighth Doctor comics.
Oh, this is exciting. This is the first time I'm hearing of this.
And artist Tazio Betton, who worked on Independence Day and Sally of the Wasteland, and Enrica Aaron Angiolini, who does not have any, this article does not have any bracketed things that person has worked on. But yes, so they'll kick off this new Warhammer 40K series in October. Next paragraph is about the tabletop. I'm not talking about the tabletop. So October 12th, 2016, the new comic will have, it'll start with, I believe the first story is sort of a 4 or 5 episode mini series / arc called Will of Iron. You're going to have to fill me in on what most of this means, Andrew. Okay. So the story follows Baltus, a dark angel.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Okay, dark.
What's a dark angel?
Dark angel is a chapter of Space Marines.
Yes.
They're a special kind of chapter where they have like a shady past that they try really hard to bury, where they were involved in a lot of heresy. So like, even now they kind of ride the line between heresy and good guys, and they're not. Kind of fanatic about that position. But yeah, they're Space Marines, real badass Space Marines.
Yeah, they're Batman. They're the Batman of Space Marines.
Yeah, sure.
Dark Angel, and he's newly elevated to the rank of Space Marine. As he is baptized on the bloody battlefield and uncovers the price his chapter has paid for victory. secrets as old as the Horus Heresy are on the verge of being revealed.
That's the stuff I'm talking about. So what happened was they were a legion, like lots of them. Like all the Space Marine, all the Space Marines were in legions. The Horus Heresy happened, which basically was a civil war among the Empire Space Marines. The Space Marines of the Empire. Mm. And it resulted in like all of them getting shattered. The Empire Imperium, that's better.
Yeah.
Imperium forcing regulations on the Space Marines, and the Space Marines enforcing on themselves to become chapters that follow a certain set of rules and are limited in size, so they can't do that again as effectively. And the Dark Angels, they had, like I said, the past where there were a lot of them that just straight up turned, and they don't accept that. So they're burying all this information. And like, even in like the codexes and stuff, they don't say what it is. They just say it's not like a thing, that they destroyed all the secrets of it.
So George Mann,
I assume, is
the writer George Mann has said, "I've long had an affinity with the rich gothic universe of Warhammer 40K, and it's a privilege to be able to continue it in this way, crafting stories brimming with intrigues, suspicion, heroism, and conflict. Terrible things await the Dark Angels beyond the warp veil of Calafrax." Wow. "We've got big plans, and we're about to embark on a terrifying mission into the darkest recesses of the universe. May the Emperor of Mankind protect us." Seriously, I just watched, just before work last night, Eric and I watched an episode of Doctor Who, Warp Veil of Calafrax. I'm pretty sure I heard that in Doctor Who.
Could be.
That's what that sounds like.
There is an Emperor of Mankind.
Yeah, Emperor of Mankind protect us. So you can get there'll be a special first look at the Warhammer 40K panel at Comic-Con on Thursday. Oh, look, Thursday, July 21st. This one has a date of Comic-Con.
Sweet.
That is next week. So it is a week and a half away. It'll have artwork previews, announcements, and exciting reveals from Warhammer 40K writer George Mann. I don't know why I put on a voice anytime I start reading directly from my article. Every time I read word for word from the article, I put on a voice. Titan is also producing a special number zero edition of the comic, which will be available in October's edition of White Dwarf magazine, which is something that's published by Games Workshop. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Is that like their Sears catalog?
Kind of. It's basically their own magazine, which is actually coming to an end. There's only a few prints of it left, and then they're going to switch to a new kind of system.
It's going
to
last till October, because you get a special 32-page preview comic.
Possibly might be the last one. I don't remember. Yeah. Hard to keep track. It's expensive.
It features an original 10-page strip by the creative team of the regular 40K series in it. And it's a regular exclusive 40K series? Well, this one that's coming, this Will of Iron, is going to be a regular 40K series. Okay. It's starting with the sort of miniseries about the Baltus, and it's going to continue on.
This is exciting.
It hits stores and digital platforms October 12th this year. And if you do your own ordering thing, that's for people who own comic stores. It's available to order from the August edition of previews. That's, nobody does that. Nobody who's doesn't like own a store does that. They have six covers if you count a blank cover. I'm assuming the Dark Angel is the one with this hood and creepy skull mask. Creepy-ass skull mask? Or do they just have
it's just probably the
green, green beaky head. Yeah. It's also
they have different kinds of helmets. That's one of them. If he's green and he's got a hood, he's a dark angel.
Yeah, okay. And he's got his creepy skull mask looking thing and a sword on his chest. One of the covers has him and just another space marine looking guy who's in green, got a beaky looking mask but no hood. And then some woman who's wearing red armor with a skull on her chest and an eye. Does that mean anything? A red eye with a skull on it?
I'm trying to see.
She's got some forehead tattoo.
Ah, it's an Inquisitor. The tattoo on her forehead is the sign of an Inquisition. And then the guy with the skull mask, that is a legitimate skull helmet. He is a chaplain for the chapter.
Oh, so he's higher up.
Yeah. He's higher up.
Then the other guy.
Special guy. And the beaky guy,
the other guy
means he's a new space marine. He's kind of a lower.
So that would rank. That would be Baltus, the new Dark Angel.
Yeah. I see the covers now.
And then there's the blank one, which some people like to get. Anyway, that sounds cool. I like 40K, though I know very little of it, from a lore point. But, I don't ever want to play it, that's for sure.
That's fair. I love the bejesus out of it, and I have, four armies, and I hardly want to play it.
And there's also a couple of preview pages. Well, there's two preview pages on this website that I'm on. And they're definitely beating up other people in armor. But that guy's got a purple face.
That's probably a Chaos Marine.
And the chaplain's got some badass sword axe looking thing, like cracking off lightning on this guy's face or something. That's sweet. So yeah, Andrew, don't forget October 12th.
Super stoked.
Don't forget it. And last, but certainly not least, Thunderous He-Cats. So, coming in October as well, there's going to be a crossover. It's going to be starting a 6-part crossover event for He-Man and the Masters of the Universe and Thundercats. Somehow for the first time. How this has never been a crossover before, I do not understand.
Yeah.
But apparently, there's not been a Thundercats and He-Man crossover before.
Doesn't make sense.
At least not an official one.
I find that really
funny. Yeah, so do I. But this is what the article says. And basically, the gist of what the comic series is going to be, in his eternal desire to destroy the Thundercats, so Mum-Ra, who is the Thundercats' main villain, he looks for a weapon that can beat the Sword of Omens, which is, what's his name there? What's the main cat?
Lion-O?
Whatever. Lion-O, I think, yeah. But there, the fancy, iconic sword with the red ball at the bottom, the Sword of Omens. And so he finds He-Man's Sword of Power, through magic. And so he basically opens a rift to He-Man's universe to try and get it. But opening this rift launches a cataclysmic crisis that will, threaten both worlds, obviously, because that's what happens when you open a rift between dimensions. Yep. And for the first time ever, we'll unite Lion-O, Chitara, Tigra, Panthro, Wily Kit and Wily Cat, which sound terrible, with He-Man, Battlecat, Teela, Man-at-Arms, and the rest of the Masters. I love Man-at-Arms. Just his existence. And his name is Man-at-Arms because he's got six arms or something. I'm pretty sure that's literally why he's called Man-at-Arms. So yeah, the first issue of He-Man and Thundercats is October 5th, so that'll be the week before Warhammer. You're going to have a busy October, Andrew. All right. This actually went way longer than I expected. to be honest. I think we talked about Pokemon Go for too long. But that's all we have for this week. You can find us on Twitter. I am at Dud75, D-U-D-7-5.
And I'm at D-U-B-3.
And also, as I forgot to say last week, you can follow the show at, I want to say it's at Weekly News. I don't know where I put my phone. I believe I am nearly 100% certain it is at Weekly News. I'm launching Twitter right now to confirm that it is what I just said it was. And I'm going to move on while I'm confirming that. You can also find our website, which is geeklynews.com. On that website, you'll find our show notes. You can listen to the show there. You can comment on each page. You can subscribe to RSS there. Anything else you can do on the website? Read old blogs.
Read old blogs, yeah.
Yes, and the show's Twitter is in fact at Weekly News, like I assumed. If you want to send us an email about how much we ramble and whatnot, and how either terrible or great it is, you can email us at feedback@weeklynews.com. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/weeklynews, and on iTunes, where we would love if you would give us a rating and a review. Constructive criticism is absolutely welcome, but if you just want to be a douchebag, you can go douche yourself somewhere else.
Cool douchebag. I like communication.
Not on the iTunes reviews, though.
Sure, as douchebag. Long as there's 4 stars attached to it.
You want to be a douchebag, send me an email, and I'll email you back in a douchey way. We'll just go in a douche war, but through email. That sounds terrible. Douche war. That's a terrible thing to say. All right. That's all we have for this week. Thank you for listening. God, it's early. Late. That's all we have. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week, where hopefully we'll be recording on a Saturday afternoon.